The next speaker is going to have a little more time because she's not just representing Louisiana. She's going to talk a little bit about what's going on regionally and nationally. And the speaker is Janice Williams. She is a licensed professional engineer with a degree in civil engineering from Louisiana State University. She has served as the chief of the Systems Engineering Division at the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development for the last couple of years. And in that division, it has a system preservation section, pavement and geotechnical design section, utility relocation section, and a systems engineering section. The systems preservation section under her leadership has developed a bridge preservation / preventive maintenance program, as well as the pavement preservation program. So she has had extensive experience with pavement preservation and has added bridge preservation to her portfolio. And at the end, she'll reflect on what is happening within the Asheville community, both regionally and nationally. So, Janice?
Thanks, King. I appreciate that. I'm very happy to be here today. I'm glad to get to talk about one of the things that I've spent 20 years working on already with the Department of Transportation and Development in Louisiana. And I've got sort of a bad news, good news thing going on this morning. The bad news maybe is that I could talk about this all day long, and maybe tomorrow too. The good news is I'm not going to. So we'll quit by 12 o'clock for sure. So they did originally got the invitation from Florida DOT to come over and talk about something that we've got going on, that we've had some success with, our bridge preventive maintenance program. I was able to share that same information at the Subcommittee on Maintenance meeting in Monterey, California last month. And it's something that we're still trying to get the word out to every DOT to know that you can do this. So I'm talking a little bit about that, some things that we're doing that's a little different in Louisiana, as well as getting some of the national efforts that are going on in system preservation, which I'm also involved with, had the privilege of working on that as well. So we'll go ahead and get started. One of the things that comes up when you talk to people about system preservation is, what exactly does that mean? And how do you get into that? Why do you need to do it? And those kind of things. Well, the fact of the matter is, we can't afford to have roads and bridges that look like this. And if you can see the picture well enough to see, you never know how it's going to show up on one of these slide projectors. But I counted, I think, when I took this picture that day, this is a road that's not too far from my house, it's a state route. It has been fixed by now, by the way. We've resurfaced it. Five different colors of patch and material on that route, just in the frame of that picture. I've actually trimmed it down to fit on this presentation. And I believe I counted that bridge is also not very far from my house, state route. In fact, it's a U.S. route that has at least three, maybe four different colors of patch and material on that bridge. We can't afford bridges and roads like this in the future. We can't build our way out of it. We've got to make sure we take care of them before they get to this condition. That's what preservation is about. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about why Louisiana is doing, we're doing something different. I'm going to talk about how we're getting the bridge preventive maintenance funded, and then go into the national efforts in a little bit after that. So I'm just going to give some very quick facts about Louisiana. We've got almost 17,000 centerline miles of roadway. That's about 37,000, give or take, of lane miles. We've got 7,900 state-maintained bridges. And as far as number of bridges, we're not in the top group. But when you look at how many bridges that is, it's 136 million square feet of state-maintained bridges. That's a lot of bridge. And about 10%, because I think there's about 10%, 9.9% of that is actually structurally deficient. I don't even worry about the function obsolete at this point. It's not my area. And if not, I'm not sure when we'll get the money to ever fix that sort of stuff. But so what happens every 4 years, I'm sure if y'all are familiar with state government, you realize that every 4 years we have one of these happy elections, and we got one. We just got a new governor in January in Louisiana. And what happens every 4 years, if you get you don't get the same governor back, you get a new boss. So we got a new boss in 2004. We ended up going through a major reorganization subsequent to his arrival. Not a shock, we get that fairly frequently every 4 years, a major reorganization. One of the things that They said this time was we're going to increase accountability and improve efficiency. Well, okay. Yeah, like we never heard that before. It's a new name, you know, same old story. But during that reorganization and shuffle, one of the other things that came out of it was it led to the creation of a system preservation section, and that is what's different now. This group was created to provide a single unit in the DOTD whose primary focus is to develop and manage our preservation efforts. And that's something that is different from what everybody else is doing. It's housed in the Systems Engineering Division, and King read off some of the things that are in the division, including the System Preservation section. The Pavement Preservation Unit actually came out of the Road Design section. That's where it had been. We had a contract maintenance unit that was handling outsourcing, surface treatment, pavement patching, and that sort of thing that was not at that time being done in the other preservation group, even though we could have, but not a large extent of. This is formula divided money that went to the district. And we had to create a new bridge preservation unit because that function was not currently in the department. So one of the questions that came up, we had a lot of questions, why are we doing this? Couldn't preservation have been housed in design or maintenance? Well, and the answer to that is yes, but the basic function of preservation is different from traditional design and maintenance. And when I say traditional, that is old school. Now, I'm trying to hurt anybody's feelings that is in working in either one of these areas, and that's where the preservation efforts are housed in your DOT or in your agency. But one of the things that we faced in Louisiana in trying to make some changes and move forward into this new idea of preserving the infrastructure was that traditionally design has focused on new roads and bridges. You've got to meet Green Book standards. You've got right-of-way and utilities and those pesky environmental issues that can bog down delivery of projects. That's not something that we face typically in preservation projects. So those distractions weren't happening. So a lot of the work that was being done in that area didn't really fit in the pre-construction division. Traditionally, maintenance, and I say traditionally, not always, but traditionally, maintenance is focused on what's already broken. You have to react to something. If it's broken, you have to go fix it. In a lot of cases, maintenance areas, maintenance sections, maintenance divisions, have such a long list of what's already broken that it's really hard to focus on the things you want to do to make it better before it breaks. So one of the things that in our reorganization, they created this new section that was not tied to either one of those groups. Now one of the things that to get into that's different, and Rex covered what they're doing with roads in Alabama, we'll talk a little bit about a bridge preservation unit. We had to build that from scratch. We have our bridge replacement program is handled through bridge design, but we wanted to create this new function, and that's what we did in the system preservation section. Like I said, you know, we reorganized in 2005. One of the things that also happened shortly thereafter, because the whole thing started July 1st, 2005. Well, a little while after that, we had this really unwelcome visitor who made a real mess. Hurricane Katrina put a lot of things on hold that we planned to do that year. Just didn't happen. You know, we were in recovery mode. I don't think we had an HR action that happened for the whole year, you know, until 8 or 9 months later before we could get anything from personnel because they were busy dealing with so many other problems. So one of the things we needed to do is hire staff, so we were able to do that starting in 2005. And then we started looking at how we're going to pay for this. What's the plan for doing this? So we started looking at, and based on some of the work that I've already done, with in national arena. We know that Safety Loop will allow you to use Highway Bridge Program funding. I keep calling it FBR. I know it's not FBR anymore, but I always want to call it FBR. HVP money to pay for preventive maintenance of bridges. And that's one thing we wanted to do. And for reasons that take too long to explain today, Louisiana has a large balance of HVP funds that are not spent. So we wanted to get access and use some of that balance and burn up some of that to take advantage of the most restrictive funding and do this work with it. So one thing in Safety Lou is this section that says you can use the money for systematic preventive maintenance. Now, exactly what does that mean? one of the things is that allows you to do, if you're not familiar with Highway Bridge Program funding, is that traditionally, if you use that kind of money on a bridge, you couldn't use that kind of money again for 10 years on that same bridge. Well, now, the legislation that we have now says you can use federal funds on the bridge whether it's eligible for replacement or rehabilitation or not. It doesn't have to be, which is what you want to do if you're going to do preventive maintenance. You want to catch those bridges early in their life before they get to that situation and need that sort of assistance. So the key to using these funds is having a systematic process. Well, the challenge for us was that our PONUS implementation was incomplete. We've been working on it for a while. Still don't have the database and the inventory fully populated with that data collection. But we wanted to go ahead and go forward with this program. So we had to develop a systematic interim process that we could use until PONUS is fully operational for us. And the other thing we had to get was Federal Highway, our Louisiana Division approval of our process until PONUS could be finished. So what did we do? We ended up consulting with Federal Highway Division offices to find out what kind of paperwork, what sort of requirements as far as being an objective and how we're going to do the project selection criteria. We researched what some other states were doing. New York DOT has been using this kind of funds for bridge work for some time on a preventive arena. We negotiated with them the acceptable preventive maintenance activities, and that, I'll show you the list in just a minute of that. We developed the criteria-based selection. We picked which elements and what rating each one of those from our NBIS data, the inventory that we already had and we're currently using, until PONUS can be finished. So we incorporated the data that we had already, and we picked a threshold for each one of those things, a numerical number. And if y'all are interested, you can see me afterwards. I can give you the contact information for somebody, because we've got a whole other presentation just on what we're using for our system and the selection. But the good news is that after it took almost a year of negotiations and research and information, working with our federal division, and got approval in July of last year to move forward with this program. Now, this is the list of activities that are currently on our list of acceptable ones. I think we started out with a list that had three or four other ones that did not get approved, and we're hoping at sometime in the future, after we get the program going, that we will be able to do some of those other work. But one of the things is that we really wanted to focus on some things we know that we could do and hopefully have a contractor base that would come in and do the work for us, because that's one of the issues that we had, is a lot of unknowns when you start doing this kind of work and you haven't been doing it, is that who's going to come and do the work and how much is it going to cost you. So we got joint repairs, bearing repairs, and some other things. A lot of this, and it was noted at recently in the Subcommittee on Maintenance, a lot of this does address things that are already broken and need repair, but part of it has to do with the degree. You want to fix it before it gets too bad, and you want to do some of the things like deck sealing and things. And we don't have a lot of snow and ice problems in Louisiana. So some of the things we maybe have a little bit lower priority or different numbers on it for us. But we certainly do need bridge deck drainage. It does rain a little bit. So one thing we do, our current strategy is to start small with this program. We're hoping to build on it, but we wanted to start out with some small successes, make sure that we got through the federal approval process and the contracting process and see how that's working. The plans are being designed in the district offices with assistance from headquarters as needed. We're looking at doing some retainer contracts to help with some of that technical work that our bridge design section is really just full. They really can't take on any additional capacity this time in the time frame that we wanted for to get that work done. So we are looking at hiring some firms. I think we've maybe advertised that work and got some close to selecting somebody to do that. We have two deck small repair projects. US 90 near New Orleans is one of the projects that we had, and also I-10 between Baton Rouge and Lafayette. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with that area, but there's a 20-mile bridge in that area, so it wasn't a small project. We do have one joint replacement project where we grouped several bridges together to do on I-49, and that's in the central part of the state. So that kind of covers what I wanted to talk about in our bridge preventive maintenance. One of the things is that you do need to know if you're in a state that hasn't, that wants to try to take advantage of this opportunity in Safety Lube, is that you do not have to have Pontus to do it. And that's one of the questions that came up from another state that said their division had told them they were going to have to use, they can only do it if they had Pontus. Well, not every state's got Pontus. And Pontus is, I don't know the what the acronym stands for, but it's the new bridge inventory system that they're using.
Before she goes on to the national perspective, are there any questions about what Dan has presented up to now?
So one thing, we had a conference call to talk about the presentations we're doing here today. King asked, well, so what do you want people to take away from here? What else could they do? What's going on? It's like, well, one of the things is, you know, I've got a number of people in the preservation practitioners who are working in this area on a national basis. So I said, well, I could talk about what we're doing nationally. And we've got several different efforts going on nationally. We're developing regional partnerships. I'm going to describe that a little bit more. Transportation System Preservation Technical Services Program. TSP2 is what you're going to hear it called most of the time because nobody really wants to have to say that. And there's also a Transportation System Preservation Research Development Implementation Roadmap. So we're also calling that the Preservation Research Roadmap because the rest of it is just too long to say that. We'll talk a little bit about those. Regional partnerships. These are being developed in groups of, you know, somehow that correspond to somewhat to maybe the SASHTO, ASHTO, you know, WASHTO region, you know, whatever. It's sort of loosely based. And we've got three that have been established for a while. There's one new one that had their first meeting this year. And the bridge area, the regional partnerships, are basically under construction. And this is the oldest of the pavement preservation partnerships. This is the one from the Midwest. You can see they actually have a number of states involved with that and some provinces from Canada. And geographically, I don't know why those South Dakota got left out there. I'm not sure, but you know, the Northeast Partnership, that's they had their very first meeting the same week that Hurricane Ivan hit. So I was up there in Albany, New York for that meeting and tried to try and get home on the day Ivan was smashing the heck out of the Gulf Coast. Here's the states that have been invited to participate in the Southeast Payment Partnership. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And this is the Rocky Mountains Partnership is going to be starting. I think they had their first meeting this year already this summer sometime. But the Payment Partnership, one of those things, the Payment Preservation Partnership, the Southeast one had their first meeting. And one of the things is that they wanted to do what the Payment Partnerships, Payment Preservation Partnerships, I have to say. The point of those is to allow the states a chance to work together to share ideas, share problems, and do a little bit of networking and get information on what's working in your area if you've got a similar situation. One of the things is that we don't want to have to keep reinventing the wheel. So if Rex has got something great that's working for him in the southern area of Alabama, that we've got similar conditions on our eastern side of Louisiana, I don't want to have to go through the whole testing and all that evaluation process. If they've already got something that's working terrific, if I knew to call him, then I could find out, and we wouldn't have to waste a whole lot of time evaluating stuff that either might work or might not work. Or he's already got that learning curve down for him, so we can start a little higher on the curve. And that's really what the partnerships are about. The first one was held in North Carolina DOT, and I don't know if any of y'all know Steve Ornado, but he's been a longtime supporter of preservation efforts. He's the chief engineer out there. So they held the first one in Raleigh, North Carolina, in April 2007. There was an organizational meeting, is what they had, basically to talk about who's running the thing, who's in charge of it, how we're going to divide up duties, and who's going to take care of the business end of it. That was involved, a peer exchange was involved, and there was 10 states and one Canadian province. And the fellow from the Canadian province was actually representing the Midwest partnership and was there to give some advice and suggestions to the folks as they were creating this new one. These are the states that were all invited. The ones that are in italics and bold are the states that actually attended the first meeting. And so we had a few missing there from the first meeting. The second meeting was held this past May in Georgia, in Atlanta. Georgia DOT hosted that. They had some additional technical presentations at that meeting, peer exchange and more networking, people getting to know each other and find out who's doing this work in different states in that area. This time there was 13 states, and there was a guy from the New York DOT, I think it was Ed Denahay, if I'm not mistaken, who was their maintenance engineer up there. And we had two additional states join up that had not attended the first one, Alabama and Oklahoma were in. And if I'm not mistaken, there was a scheduling conflict, so somebody from, I think, Arkansas was planning to attend, but they didn't. So I don't know what that was. But, you know, we are trying to work on that and get involvement from everybody. One of the things is that we'll be hosting the next one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So we will be following up with any of the states that we have not gotten contact with at this point and see what we can do to get them involved. So we have details to be announced later. We haven't got there yet. I invite y'all, to, if you're interested in this area, if this is not your area, but you're in this presentation and you know who it is in your state, have them contact me. That'd be terrific. And so one of the things that we're also working on is the bridge preservation partnership. Now, the bridge preservation and the preventive maintenance area is a bit younger than the pavement preservation movement, I would say, in this country. So one of the things that we have a successful model in what we've done with pavement preservation with these partnerships and with some of the other, as well as industry group that's been formed to try and educate and develop training and a lot of other things that are going to help people understand why this is important and how you go about doing it in a way that maximizes and optimizes your resources that you have. So one of the things that we had an invitational meeting for folks to come to Evanston, Illinois in June 2008. There was five regional groups represented. And basically along the same lines as the regional groups you saw in the slides. Maybe not necessarily the same ones. And one of the things that's going to be up to the states to decide which partnership they want to join, if they want to join. And I hope that they would. But what we came away from that meeting was that everybody who attended has committed, and they were picked to be at that meeting because they were already champions in the preservation area to start with. But we've committed, folks who attended the meeting committed to further this effort and work on developing the regional groups. Now, one of the things that we're trying to identify, since this is a very young effort as far as bridges go, what are we going to do? Are we going to form brand new groups? Are we going to modify some of the existing groups that are already around? There's a Midwest Bridge Working Group that's been working together for some time now. I don't know, 10 or more years, I think. Ted Hopwood with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has been involved with that, but Transportation Center. I believe Kentucky actually has been an active member of that particular group for a while. And that's a loosely organized group, but they have meetings annually, sometimes even twice a year. Pacific Northwest has a bridge conference that they do. They invite people from Oregon and Washington to do, and they have a big bridge conference that includes a lot of maintenance issues. The Southeast Bridge Inspection had the original group that met this past year, I think in February, of people from all over the Southeast, and I'm not sure how those invitations got sent out.
The Federal Highways had
organized the Southeast Regional Group. And are we going to build off of that group? And those are some of the questions that need to be answered as we're developing some of these things around them. Because the groups that have already met and have a network already, we might just build on that and add on to those kind of things. Or we might end up doing something as a separate function, just depending on how they all fit together. And that's what we're committed to work on. The Southeast Regional Group is currently being formed. We've got three representatives were at that meeting in Evanston, Illinois. I'm one of them. Richard Kerr is one of them. Richard, if you'd raise your hand, from Florida DOT. He was at that meeting. And Anwar Ahmad from Virginia DOT, and I don't believe he's here at SASHTO. He was out in California. And one of the things that Anwar and I agreed to do, and then I would agree to do, is we're going to set up a conference call after we get back from SASHTO and talk about with the three of us and develop some strategies in the agenda and decide who's going to do what next and choose a location, see who's going to host it and see what we can do about getting a new one. A meeting for the Bridge Southeast Bridge Preservation Partnership, that's what we're going to call it, and see how we can get that going on. So you can expect to hear more about that in your DOTs. And again, if you're the right person from your agency, or if you know the right person in your agency, have them contact one of the three of us. So one of these questions is, well, what can you do when you leave here to help with this effort and further this effort in your agency or in your business? Well, one of the things is that if you're a member of ASHTO, DOT, if you're a DOT member of ASHTO, there's a TSP2 initiative. Now, if you remember, I told you what TSP2 is. I'm not going to say it again. It takes too long. But one of the things is that there's a resolution in ASHTO that's coming out of some of the subcommittees. Subcommittee on Maintenance is going to bring it forward. I believe it's also coming out of Bridges and Structures. And perhaps one or two other ones, Materials maybe too. The voluntary contribution right now is supporting the payment partnerships is about $7,500 per year from each agency. The recommendation for this ASHTO resolution is to up it to $20,000 a year. What do you get for $20,000 a year? And of course, you can use your SPR funds, your research funds on this. You can use federal money for this. You don't have to use state cash if you have it. It funds travel for two people for each agency to attend each meeting. So if you have a once a year, we're right now looking at once a year meetings that we send two people for pavement, two people for bridge. And you can send more if you want to, but one of the reasons that this is being developed is that as a partnership, so you can put your federal money into this and then use it for paying for state travel. And as times get tighter and tighter, it's hard to get approval to travel out of state to go meet with other people. And it's just invaluable to be able to sit down face-to-face and talk about these issues and how you're trying to solve them and where you can get help. So one of the other things that the money does is it's going to pay for facilitation and administrative support that's currently being offered under contract by the National Center for Pavement Preservation. And I'll show you the website in just a minute. But they also are hosting the website and maintaining that with technical transfer information. You can sign up for a listserv if you want to get emails on subjects as information comes out. They're hosting places where you can go to get presentations, you can get information, all kinds of things. And that's one of the things we'll be developing as we go forward. So I encourage all your states to, when you send your CEOs and your chief engineers to the ASHTO conference, I believe is in October, tell them to vote yes for these resolutions, for TSP2. Yes, we want it. We need it. And Louisiana has been on the ground floor since we first started some of the contributions and started talking about this. It was $5,000 back then, just for pavements. And I can assure you that we have absolutely gotten our money's worth out of this work in the last few years since we started doing it. Absolutely. You get way more than your $20,000 back in value of getting the information shared amongst everybody. And one of the things I'd like you to do if you're in a position, encourage your staff to find out more about preservation and get involved in this. We also have the roadmap. Two national pavement workshops were held. The National Bridge Workshop was held to develop problem statements. What is it we need to know as a practitioner? What would help you optimize your resources better? And these are the things that people that have been involved in this work for some time got together with people from universities, researchers, consultants. There was people from the industry, as well as state DOTs represented at all these meetings to come up with where we think research needs to take us, practical ideas for research. And that's one of the things that's important to remember, practical ideas, things you can apply once this research is done. And we came up with 40 pavement preservation research statements that estimated to cost about $28 million if they were all done. And I don't know if that's today's dollars or what, but and 25 bridge preservation for about $13 million. This is the cover of the research roadmap. You can download it off this website. This is the website that's supporting the pavement preservation partnerships like we were talking about. And you can, it's a pretty big file, but it's certainly of value. And what does it do for us, the research roadmap? Well, it's going to provide a guide for preservation research needs. So if somebody in a university is looking for something to do for a doctoral thesis, or some other sort of work, they can go and look and know that this is something that the industry needs. This is something that state agencies need, as well as it could benefit local agencies as well. This is where we've identified as things that will help us move forward into the future and optimize our resources. It's going to provide recommendations to people who make the decisions about where the money goes on how to fund research that's going to help us. There's an awful lot of research being done out there, y'all. A lot. And when you get those papers that come across your desk, or they get emailed a new one, or the books get printed, how much of that can you actually use? We got problem statements in here, stuff that you can use once it's finished. They're also going to address long-term and short-term needs, some things that need to be done as soon as possible, some things that would be based on some of the information. If you do the first thing, then you can build on it and go to the next thing. And I encourage you all to all go check that out. And one of the other things I didn't mention already was Bridge Preservation Association. It's a new group that's being formed that is a private group. I guess they're going to try and get not-for-profit status, and that's one of the things they haven't finished all the paperwork yet. It's an industry group that is going to be working along with the state agencies and the partnerships. Industry folks, contractors, consultants, vendors, those kind of people, they can also join the partnerships, and there'll be membership fees for them as well. Anybody that wants to attend those meetings is welcome to come. The $20,000 is going to pay for state agency folks only, but other people can join the partnerships as well. But the Bridge Preservation Association is currently being formed. They have got a few members now, and they're looking for more. So if you're a consultant or somebody else from the industry that's not on the state agency, they'd be happy to talk to you as well. Some of the guys, I saw them at the trade show, Transpo. Company is involved in that, so you talk to them, they put you in touch with the right people, or you can get in touch with me. Be happy to put you in touch with those folks as we move forward into this effort. So, any questions?
Well, please join me in thanking Janice for that presentation.